Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Charlie, you done rung my bell. Praise team, how... When you talk about, I sought the Lord and you heard and he answered, and then you go into how great thou art. Woo! Y'all going to have to just give me a minute. I sought the Lord and he heard and answered. How great thou art. Give me just a second. How many has been seeking the Lord? Lord, what is your word for me today? I know I have. If I can encourage you, I know this is the time of year to make resolutions, commitments. May I pose to you one that will pay huge dividends more than anything else. Let's just get closer to him. Just get close. And I don't mean that in a pious way or in a cheap applause line. I literally mean, I think God has got some goodies for us in 25. But we're going to miss them if we don't have our head to his heart. And it behooves us to really lean in and say, Lord, what are you saying? Have you ever had a season where you're seeking him, you're asking for guidance and wisdom and... it's not that he's not speaking, it's just you can't hear him clearly. Has anyone ever experienced that? Or am I the only one? You know, for the last quarter, I was sort of in that, and I think I even mentioned that to you guys a few times back when I spoke, but in something broken, God's revelation has just been pouring out here lately, but I was beating myself up. And I want to encourage you today with what God encouraged me with. He took me to Daniel 10. He says the prophet of God was in the world and he was looking for understanding. And there was a delay on his answer because there was a political spirit. And there was a spirit of the enemy. The king of Syria had released things. And the angel came to him and says, listen, I'm sorry for the delay, but 85 was backed up out there. That guy just, in other words... His shipment of goodies, his shipment of what he was beseeching the Lord about was delayed because of the work of the enemy. And I'm here to encourage you this morning. Your package is on the way. Amen. I don't have the tracking number. I don't have the tracking number necessarily. But if there's been a delay in your shipment, hold on. He's coming. And all of God's people hears the trumpet line right out. Yep. But he is. And don't beat yourself up because you're not getting that instant. Because sometimes it's the work of the enemy. And I'll tell you what broke it through me. I had someone call me from, I don't know them, from Adam's House Cat. And tried to tempt me by becoming one with Satan. You know how he did that? He tried to get me to become the accuser of the brethren. He tried to get me to testify and speak to about someone's character and someone's this and someone's that. And just, you know, tried every which way from Sunday to get me to say something because he thought he could get an audience with me because of circumstances in the past. And I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit arrested my heart and more importantly my tongue, but he has to get your heart first. And I said nothing but blessings. Because the Bible says, bless those who despitefully use you and curse you. All we are supposed to be a blessing dispenser. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Oh, did you hurt me? Bless you anyway. Bless you. And I'll tell you what, it was like whatever was in the heavenlies that was holding up my package. my package was just ideas. You know, I literally live and breathe on every word he says. Because if he don't give me a fresh idea this coming week, we might not That's the life I live, and that's fine. That's. But you know what? We all, to a certain extent, live in that life. We all, how are we supposed to communicate with our loved ones? How are we supposed to get along with our friends, our family, and our foes? It comes from the Word of God breathing in us and hearing Him. But I'm telling you what, sometimes our hearing can get clogged up, can't it? And we talked last week about greater gifts, because this is a season of gifts. And we talked about, you know, the three types of gifts, the motivational gifts. And what do we talk about there? We said that motivational gifts is typically where conflict comes in place. Why? Because you, they, everyone involved is putting a value system on what's more important. I mean, that's just the way we... If you're prophetically motivated, what does that mean? If you're prophetically motivated, speak to me. What does that mean? The most important thing we can do in here is say, thus saith the Lord. Prophesy. And should we? Absolutely. But if we're mercy motivated, what's the most important thing to us? Show mercy. Mike, you okay? You feel all right? Thank you, friend. Anybody tell you they love you today? Amen. But isn't that the truth? Mercy. So all these motivations, but sometimes we get in working with one another and families and everything, and that can happen. And then we also talked about the manifestational gifts. That is where God manifests, His Spirit manifests in us in different miraculous ways and all different types of ways. Something I didn't mention last week, but have you ever just gotten a rabbit hole and you just start digging? Because I mentioned this to Pastor Terry. I just thought this was amazing. I'm on one of these mailing lists because I have to keep up my CEs on a particular thing that I do. And anytime there's new studies or anything like that with psychology and different things, they say, especially if it has to do with faith, I'm on that mailing list. And they were giving this new report that came out. I forget the name of the university. But it was basically critics of faith. Okay, I want you to understand the biases here. Critics of faith trying to prove that when we pray for people and when we pray for the sick and they are healed, that's nothing more than a placebo effect. I'm just being honest with you. That's what they're trying to prove. And they had their neurologist in there and all of this. And it was this school that was putting on this study. And they studied all different liturgical prayers, people that came in from the different churches that practiced liturgical prayers they had. They even had monks in there. It had from Christian faith, Muslim, all different types of faith. But there's one lady in there from Kentucky and went to her grandma's church, was a Pentecostal church. And there was one prayer that they did not include in the study. And it was the prayer of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues. And so the way the study worked was they were put your brain scan up and they were trying to measure, you know, what parts of the brain fire when you engage this activity. And all of them pretty much fired on the same side of the brain when it's basically when you're speaking, except one prayer. And it fired on the side of the brain where you hear. And isn't that what the Bible says when we pray in our heavenly gift? That God is depositing ideas, thoughts that transcends our intellectual mind. And it blew them away that they had these couple Pentecostals in there praying, scan, you know, with the brain scans going on. And the side of the brain that should be firing when they speak wasn't. It was the side of the brain that listens. And it is like, well, that's weird. You know, no, that's Bible. That's Bible. And that's just a representation that God wants to get us supernatural information to us today. And we need it, don't we? And it's all contingent upon what we hear and leaning in on what He says. You know, there's a difference between listening and hearing, right? Y'all heard that? You know, some of us listen to music, but if you ask Charlie about a song, he hears it. He goes, well, that's in 110 beats per minute. It's using this particular chord progression. And the soloist used the Dorian scale rather than the lithium or what all these. He gets in all this, you know, music theory because he hears what's going on. And the Bible says faith comes. Not us just listening to the Bible. Not us just listening to the man of God. Not just us listening, but hearing what He's saying. You know, and in that text, and when Paul said that, do you know the audience that was listening to that at the time and heard these words and pinned down, what they were hearing from a Hebrew context, from a Jewish context, is in Hebrew, when you say, hear, I need you to hear me, you know what you're saying? Not only want you to hear the words I'm saying, I want you to act on it. Obey. The Bible says not to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. He wants us so in proximity, there's no separation between him and his heart, that when he says something, we do it. We don't even have to understand why. I don't even have to know. Oh, yes. Terry did. Yes. Yes. Yes and amen. Terry did. Yes. You know, years ago, Terry did. Well, you know that. Yes. Yes, Lord. But do we hear him? I want to get into that a little bit with you this morning, if you will. We understand that hearing the word of God in Romans is how we receive. That's the conduit that we engage our faith. You know, and one of the most famous sayings of Jesus in the whole New Testament, he says, he that hath ears, do what? Let him hear. This phrase or variation is probably used more, most used phrase that Jesus used. It occurred 3 times in Matthew, 3 times in Mark, 2 times in Luke, and 8 times in Revelation. It is entirely absent from the Gospel of John, though. But when he says, let him that has ears hear, what he's saying is we have to use a part of our ability to receive something outside of our sight. Because what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? And so when he says we walk by faith, what he's literally saying is we walk by hearing and not by sight. Now, why I'm picking on this so much is because it's a metaphor for getting us, you know, spiritually trained how to discern what God is saying. Because our eyes will fool us, won't it? Our eyes will play tricks on us. Our eyes, you know, the old saying, what are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes, right? But sometimes, you know, we get distracted. As you guys know, my mother-in-law and father-in-law were both, father-in-law was born deaf. Mother-in-law became deaf when she was 2 or 3. She got measles and became deaf. So her only remembrance, I think, don't let me say this out of school, but the only thing she remembers is Elvis Presley singing. That's the only thing she can remember from her days of hearing. But she's 80-some-odd years old now. And so this year for Christmas, what we gave her was these glasses that when you put them on, they sync with your phone, and you can see, she can see, you can't see it, but it writes out the transcript of what everybody's saying. And it only puts, not only does it put what it's saying, it says it's coming from person one, person two, you can have 6 different people on there, and she can name them. This is what Terry is saying, this is what Gina is saying, this is what, you know. And so for the first time in her adult life ever, she is accessing a world she didn't understand was even there. And the first thing she said, I think Gabby, you was the one that told me, if I'm wrong, correct me later, not in public. But the first thing she goes, and you'll laugh at this, does everybody here talk at the same time like this always? Because that's the first thing Terry and Brenda had to get used to our household. I mean, we almost need a parliamentary procedure, you know, because there's a lot of talkers in that household. Everybody's got opinions, and everybody wants to share it now. You know, he sits back and just watches like a ping pong match. But what it told me was, for the first time in her life, putting these on, she just recognized a world that she'd been around her family her whole life. And she didn't realize they were all talking. I want you to think about the power of that for just a second. Just by these little things right here she put on, she was able to understand for the first time people were communicating. Because see, in the deaf world, when we talk by sight, if I'm looking to you, Eric, we're talking, you're talking, there's nothing else around us. But see, when we hear, me and you can be talking, T Terry can say amen, or that's not right. Terry, clean that up. He can say whatever, right? And I hear him in it. So spiritually speaking, what God is saying is, you need to be able to hear my voice and amongst all of them. I need to function in this life. I'm not so spiritually minded. I'm no earthly good. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I can operate in this world, but my ears are tuned to a frequency that I'm hearing something. I'm hearing something. I'm not just listening. I'm hearing. What does this mean? Because he says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the rhema word. I've got rhema. Is a now word. It's how it applies to me right now. You know, there's one thing to know about something. Another thing to know something. I found this interesting years ago. And I don't know what the story is now. So, you know, it's probably different because I've been out of it for 20 some odd years. Years ago, when we was in the music business, every year they would publish the number one salesman of this, number one salesman of that, number one salesman of this. Do you know the number one piano salesman in our country was in New York City? He made over $1 million a year typically just in commission. He's not the owner of the company. He's just a salesman. He's just a salesman. And he made over $1 million a year selling Steinway pianos up in New York. And I got the opportunity to meet him out at the trade show years ago and talk to him a little bit. And I want you to know, I was flabbergasted, Charlie. Because that dude couldn't play chopsticks. He couldn't play Mary Had a Little Lamb on that piano. Yet he could sell the tar out of them. So what that tells me is I can know all about this and leverage it for some earthly good. But until I know this instrument and become one with this instrument and use it for what it was created for and make sweet melodies to heaven and pour out my heart and let him pour into me, I didn't get the most value out of this thing, did I? See, we can know all of it. You can go to any university in the country right now and go into the religious department and all of these different things. There's Hebrew scholars and Greek scholars and all these people, they can tell you everything about this book from front to cover, but they couldn't tell you who the author is. They couldn't tell you anything about him. And see, knowing him is the difference between knowing how this applies to me in the moment and just knowing what it meant historically. Because he's got a rhema word for Terry Wilson. Does he have a rhema word for you?
Yes.
He's got a rhema word for me in 2025. Does he have a rhema word for you? I'm telling you, I think he's got some good stuff for us in store, and we can access all of the things that he has for us, and even more, if I can tune my ears to actually hear what he is saying. Hearing is a great medium, and here's the reason why he uses this metaphor. Hearing is said to literally mean this, to accept what is being said as intended. Here's the difference between hearing and seeing. You and I could go into an art gallery. I could have painted that. And every one of you in here could have a different understanding and interpretation of what I meant by this painting. Every one of you. But if I went in that art gallery and it said Terry Wilson, Joyce Wilson's boy from Ruth, North Carolina, born in Atlanta, Georgia, raised in Smyrna, this is what I have for you to say today. I love you with a passionate love. I'm jealous. I am Elkanah, the jealous God. I want to be your number one because I came for you and made you number one. I died for you. That's how much. You see the difference? One is just left up to interpretation. Knowing him and knowing what this book says, it's got a completely different. There's one thing to say. Let's just get into this real quick. I want to show you this real quick. I thought this was so great. I hope you guys enjoy it. But it talks about this over here. I love this. Turn with me real quick to John 14:27. If y'all want to put that on the screen, this would be a good one. John 14:27. I want to illustrate what I mean by this. Is that me, Randy? Did I do something? Sorry. John 14:27, it says this: "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, say for instance, you're going through a real rocky time right now. You're going through a real hardship right now. Say, for instance, you're stressed. Say, for instance, "Bless God, I don't know how we're going to make it." Say, for instance, you're in that situation. You could read that and it says this: "Terry, peace I leave with you. It's my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let your heart be afraid." Now, what did that tell me in that moment? Everything's going to be all right, Terry. I got you back, boy. I didn't take you this far to let you go now, right? But let's say, for instance, I'm busy trying to create my own peace. I'm busy out trying to do things to substitute what I should be getting from God. Let's say, for instance, I'm abusing food, or I'm abusing other things. But I'm abusing things because I'm looking for comfort. What is he saying in that same passage when he says, "Terry, peace I give you, but not as the world gives. I give you peace from me. So don't let your heart be troubled." You see, just by the inflection of the voice, same truth, but two different applications. That's why it's important to know God. That's why it's important to understand his character. Because the same mechanism in us that can allow us to hear a rhema word from him is the same mechanism that Satan used to abuse us with the same passage. Because with the wrong inflection, I could read into this word and not out of it. And I could hear the voice of a teacher that never liked me, a coach that never believed in me, a parent that was maybe neglect, whatever your path, but that icon in your mind right now, you'll hear it in their voice. And all of a sudden what you hear is condemnation. "Boy, what's wrong with you? Look at you." And that's not the heart of the Father, is it? You see, the same spirit that's inside of me that's wanting to be fed by my Father can be susceptible to the accuser of the brethren. So it's important that I not just listen to what's being said, but I hear what he's saying. And to hear him is to know him. I can't hear him if I don't know him. And the way to know him is spend time with him. There's no substitute. There's no way around it. It's amazing how God will speak to you in ways that you can understand that doesn't make sense to anybody else. Gina and I, years ago, we helped a church plant. And we finished the job. Our job was done. Was coming back, and we didn't know if we should be coming back home here or somewhere else. This is back before Pastor Terry had taken, and so it was just like, where do we go now? We was looking for direction. And this was back in the, you know, really the late 90s, I think it was. Don't let me get my timeline wrong, but back then, there was this real big movement for praise and worship, and even in traditional churches. And so yours truly, being the music business worship leader, I was a hot commodity. And so as soon as I came up on the market, the church market, I mean, I had, you know, people calling, you know, "Won't you come in? Won't you come?" And so we, you know, we didn't know what we were supposed to do. So we visited around and see if God was calling us somewhere. And our prayer was, God, just close doors. Because if it wasn't a closed door, we would assume, well, we'll push a little more. But close it. You know, just shut. And we met with this one ministry couple. And Gina walked away. And I didn't see this, guys. I didn't see this at all. But she kept going, did you see the expressions on the wife's face? Like, no. She said, something ain't right. And I said, what do you mean? She said, something ain't right in Kansas there. Just something. I just got a check. I got, and I said, okay, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear what the Spirit of God was saying. She did. Went to sleep that night. Had a dream about that ministry and stuff. And I saw him get up, and he was holding this book. And on the cover, it said 66, which there's 66 books in the Bible, by the way, right? And on his shirt was 6, the number of man. And I woke up startled. Because anybody knows 6 plus 6, 6 equals what? Not where you want to be. So God spoke to me in a way that I understood. I could hear. But why? Because we knew him and knew his voice. And we were diligently not trying to push an agenda, but actually seeking, what should we do now, God? What would you have with us? And by the way, it wasn't but a year later, what we thought we heard the Lord saying in different ways manifested itself. And it would have been a heartache, and a train wreck had we pursued that any further. God has got something for you in 2025. Do we hear him? I'm diligently got my ears to the ground saying, Lord, what would you say to Terry? What would you say to my household? What would you say to Father's Vineyard? What would you say, God? That's my prayer. What's your prayer? I'm telling you, he says, those who diligently seek him, they'll do what? He ain't holding out on us, is he? But I'm telling you right now, I think if we'll go after him, he'll come after us. So let's get into this real quick, guys. He said, so we know that the faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the rhema word of God, so it's accessing that. Hearing is a great medium, like I said, for words and meaning. So what he's saying there is when he speaks to us through the Logos, when he speaks to us the rhema, it's clear. It's not something that, you know, that we should add our interpretations to truly listen to one. Pay attention, interpret, and mentally process what is being said. So faith is there's a difference between faith and fiction, right? Faith comes from hearing. My fiction comes from feelings. You know, sometimes I'm operating in a fictitious way because, well, I thought this, but why? Because I was led by my feelings and not by what he's saying. So we understand that. So that's when we're trying to access what God's saying. We're doing it through faith. We're hearing the words, and we're not putting our meanings on it, but we're putting what he meant by it in his original text, and also understanding it through weighing it out through other people. Hearing also requires a relationship. Hearing is relational. When we hear someone speak, we are connected to them in real time and in the moment. Notice he says faith comes by hearing. He didn't say faith comes by what you heard. And he didn't say faith comes with what you will hear. It comes by hearing. What does that mean? It means that it's an active going on right now. If I'm not actively right now going, listen, you might have read John 3:16 1,000 times. But under the anointing, you go back and read it. Go back and read it. When God's got your heart, when God's arrested your mind, go back and read just John 3:16. I am amazed at how God, in one passage, very popular, that you don't even have to be saved to know what that one means, that under the anointing, God can say things that you never thought, dreamed, or imagined, never entered into your heart. The goodness, just through a con. But so what happens? You know, I think Pastor Terry says Bobby said this, or I don't know if it's Bobby Connor or I don't know which Bob it was. But it's very apropos. We are very, very familiar with a God we barely know. We get familiar with this text so much that we don't hear what it's saying for us right now. I have been guilty of that. I charge you this year, as you're making commitments to go through this year, to understand where God is taking you, to look at that passage with a whole new... When you read, what are you saying today, Lord? What are you saying today? And here's an exercise you could do. Read it with different inflections. Read it with empathy. Read it with assurance. Read it in a prophetic voice that thus saith the Lord to you right now, Terry. And see what, I mean, just play around with the modes that you've got internally and see what God will reveal to you. Don't get so familiar with your own voice and your own reading voice that you don't hear what God is actually saying. You know, there was something that, an exercise that's going to sound silly. Did I say it sounds going to sound silly? It's going to sound silly, but it worked. I was working with something and working with a coach and a mentor one time, and I was making every excuse under the sun on why I couldn't do what I said and was paying this guy that I wanted to do. This is what I want to do. This is what are my goals. He says, okay, this is what you need. I said, and I can't do that. Sort of like what Pastor Terry talks about when he go into marital counseling. He say, okay, this is what the Lord says. And I go, well, is there another option? He goes, well, no. There is no plan B. It's plan G, and that's it. But I was making excuses and this and that. And so every excuse he'd write down, he'd just write them down. And then, because he was a believer, he went back, and he would challenge me on what words I was saying versus what the Scripture said. And he said, you see, there's an inconsistency here. And then, you know what I did, Faye? I'd rationalize and I would manipulate meanings of what I really meant by that and this and that. And he goes, here's what I want you to do. He goes, I want you to go read those verses into your telephone, in your memo. Record yourself reading those verses. And then I want you at night, put your headphones on and listen to yourself read those scriptures. And I did that exercise for several days. Two things I noticed. Number one, I noticed that my inflections in what I read over time started changing. And number two, I became more and more convicted of the hypocrisy I was living with. And I changed. I made some fundamental change. That's the Word of God washing over this old boy that tried to make excuses and not, that said, I take a bath once a week whether I need it or not. And spiritually speaking, you know, he says, no, you're going to do it daily, and you're going to go back and look at how you did it. And that's what the exercise was doing. It was me listening to me give God's words over me and then having to sit in the driver's seat with God and say, what do you think about that? And I'm like, well, he could have said that with a little more enthusiasm, I guess. Absolutely. Do you believe it? Yes. Hearing is important because it stirs revelation. Sound has the power to move us emotionally and spiritually. Hearing has the ability to reveal deeper and greater meaning and simply by hearing the tone and the timbre. And we went through that passage there and how just by changing that, it brings out things. Hearing is contrasted with all our other senses. The Bible is clear about taste and see that the Lord is good. Behold, or look, I'm doing a new thing. Bill Gaither, he said, has built three different homes off of this one song that he wrote back in the 70s. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And now I know. So God is fully engaged in our senses, isn't he? But when it comes to getting an idea of what he wants to do with us, he's saying, use that part of your spiritual exercise of listening, because seeing is believing. That's what we all think. While sight provides evidence and clarity, it often appeals to physical proof and self-reliance. Hearing, by contrast, requires us to trust. Listen, hearing requires me to trust. How many, you can hear something, but you don't see it. I hear God's promises, but I don't see them. Some of you have been in this situation. I hear by his stripes, he's made me whole. I'm healed. I hear that. Sometimes I see it. Sometimes I don't. But does it change the fact that by his stripes, I am healed? He says, church, to me, that he'd make me the head and not the tail. He'd make me above and not beneath. That he will prosper me in my comings and my goings. That he's got blessings not on me, my whole household. That I can't get away from the goodness of God. Sometimes I don't see it, folks. But does that change the fact? See, I got to hear. If I hear it, I'll eventually see it. When God said, I will not destroy the earth anymore this way, that you got my promise. You got my promise, Noah, that we won't do it this way anymore. He spoke that promise, and you know what happened? A visual rainbow appears as a visual sign of a verbal promise. Now, I don't mean to get too woo-woo here, but I will. How many colors are in a rainbow? Thank you. How many notes are in a major scale, Charlie? Seven, eighth, starting over, right? God spoke a complete promise, a perfected promise, a promise that has no addendum to it. He doesn't pretty unless or unless. He spoke a complete promise. And that promise, because he spoke it, it visually appears to us to even to this day. Boys and girls, children, the rainbow represents one thing and one thing only. I don't care what anybody else tells you. And that is the goodness and the promises of God. I know people are trying to hijack it. I know people are trying to rebrand and repurpose it. But you can't get away from the origins of what that rainbow represents. And that is, my God said something, and he will do it. You can bank on it. You can pull checks off of it. That account is fully funded. He says, what he says will not come back to me bounced. I don't have to go to the banker and say, I'm sorry, can you lend me another? No, he says, when he said it, it is finalized. It is done. And that's what that represents. Something else, I don't mean to get woo-woo-y. I didn't know this, but do you know? You know what the difference between sound and light is? Anybody? It's the speed of the frequency. That's all there is. So when God is speaking to us, one of the reasons he's using the metaphor of sound is, I'm slowing down what I'm saying to you, Terry, so you can hear it. Faith comes by slowing down and hearing. And what do we, you know, all of these folks who have temporarily died and come back, what do they all testify to? All of a sudden, the frequencies of God's promises were so intense and so fast, I no longer heard, but all I saw was a white light. What is white? The highest frequency visually able to be perceived. Its frequency so fast it's washing out everything else, right? God, in his benevolence to this old boy, slowed his light down, slowed it down. And he says, behold, Terry, look, I'm doing a new thing in 2025. And if you will put your ears to my heart and not be so fast and not be so agitated, but just slow down. See what I won't do. I'm telling you, God's got some goodies for us this year. Are we ready for it? He's got some goodies for us. He knows. Listen, if I know how to spoil that grandbaby of mine, man, I held her for the first time, and I saw, you know what I saw? This is going to be weird. I saw my great-grandparents. I saw my grandparents. I saw my mom. I saw my children. All wrapped up And I can't express it other than this. The goodness of God, which is manifest to me. God, you've been so good. You blessed me in the back end. You blessed me on the front end. You just blessed me. You're so good. I don't deserve any of it. Yet you keep on keeping on. You keep giving despite my best efforts to talk you out of it. You're still good to me. I'm telling you, slow down and listen. And don't put your own spin on it. He's got stuff for you. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? Stop. Listen. What's that sound? Everybody look. What's going down? He got stuff. Amen? All hearts and minds clear this morning. Forgive me for using that one. I was under the anointing or under the annoying one. I don't know. Do we have any first-time visitors here? I think we had a few. It's good to have you this morning. Pastor's going to meet you at the back. Got some nice parting gifts and maybe even apologies for the message. I don't know. But he'll clean up whatever needs to be cleaned up. But I want to charge you this morning to this year. Don't be afraid. Look, lean into it. I'm telling you, God's got some good stuff for us. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for being so good to us despite what we deserve. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. And we commit to you that this coming year, we're going to slow down and lean in to knowing you even more. Getting to understand and getting to be in your presence even more. Because God, we know we can't do anything without you. Lord, we need you. We need you more than ever right now, God. So we reach out to you and we commit to you that you're going to have time with us. More time with us because we need time with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.